got Josie Duke. We were talking apologetics earlier during the break, and Josie's with us. And Carlo Broussard, we're going to bring you into the mix, too, because you are the Cajun apologist.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
To have you here. And
I am glad to be in the mix, let me tell you.
In fact, Josie had a list of summer reading, and your book is on the list, Preparing the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. So, Carlo Broussard, you've been kind of bringing us along bit by bit. So where are we today in the book?
Yes. Well, if my memory serves me correct, Jeff, because I've been doing quite a few interviews here.
Oh, okay.
So hopefully I got it right. I think we're at chapter 3 on the issue of tolerance.
That
right?
is correct, sir. You win.
Yes. So the idea is, how can I believe in truth when it's intolerant? To say someone is wrong. And what I do in the chapter is I start off, for my Star Wars fans out there, I start off with Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith.
It's my favorite episode. And my seventh graders love you, by the way, Carlo. They love you.
Great, great. Obi-Wan Kenobi, well, actually, Anakin tells Obi-Wan Kenobi, he says, "You're either with me or you're my enemy."
Wow.
To which Obi-Wan Kenobi responds and says, "Only a Sith deals in absolutes." And boy, isn't that the narrative of contemporary culture, that if you deal in absolutes, if you acknowledge absolute truth, which necessarily involves saying someone else is wrong, right? Then you're on the dark side. You're being intolerant. You're mean-spirited. And so this is a label that's slapped on us, to be intolerant. And not, I mean, people don't want to be viewed as mean-spirit. People want to be viewed as being a nice person. So a lot of people are very hesitant in affirming objective truth. For example, in a about a year ago, the Family Policy Institute of Washington put out a video entitled "College Kids Say the Darndest Things," where the executive director, Joseph Backholm, interviews 8 students about so-called gender identity.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And when asked, you know, what would you say if I'm a female, one of the young gals responds and says, "Well, like, I feel like it's not my place as, like, another human to say someone is wrong or to draw lines or boundaries." And the reason why she's hesitant to say someone is wrong, because she doesn't want to be labeled as being intolerant.
Gotcha.
So how do we respond or remove this obstacle to embracing objective truth? Well, first of all, it's actually self-defeating for a relativist, and this is a strategy we can employ. And there are two ways in which it's self-defeating. First of all, we could ask the person, the relativist, who doesn't want to embrace objective truth out of fear of being intolerant, we could say, "Well, is it absolutely true that we should be tolerant?" And in order to hold to their argument, they have to say yes, but that's at least one absolute truth, right? So the relativist can't have both and. The relativist either is going to have to give up relativism in order to keep the objective good of tolerance, or give up the objective good of tolerance in order to keep relativism. He can't have both relativism and, at the same time, the objective good of tolerance, because relativism doesn't allow for objective truth. And secondly, think about this, guys. Rather than relativism upholding or promoting tolerance, relativism actually undermines tolerance itself. Because here's a question we could ask. What if someone believes that intolerance is a good thing? Like, relative to their system of beliefs, being intolerant of someone's view is a good thing. So according to relativism, we wouldn't be able to criticize that view, because that's what they believe. So watch this. Think about this.
All right.
How can relativism promote tolerance when its mental framework allows for the acceptance of an individual's belief that intolerance is a good thing? So rather than relativism promoting tolerance, it actually undermines it, in as much as it allows intolerance to be a belief, one belief among a set of other beliefs for an individual. So this is our first strategy. The argument from tolerance is actually self-defeating for a relativist. And I think more fundamental, guys, is that it misunderstands tolerance. Listen, we don't tolerate, because in contemporary culture, people say we're being, if we want to be tolerant, we must accept everyone's opinions as equal and valid. But folks, we don't tolerate people's beliefs that we agree with. We only tolerate people's beliefs that we disagree with, right?
That's right.
And disagreement necessarily involves saying someone is wrong. So notice, we're slapped with the label of intolerance for saying someone is wrong. But yet saying someone is wrong necessarily belongs to the essence of tolerance. You can't be tolerant unless you think someone is wrong. And I think the motivating factor behind this intolerance objection is a fear that we're going to somehow physically coerce people into believing what we believe. They think violence necessarily follows from the claim of absolute truth. But violence doesn't necessarily follow from absolute truth claims. Violence follows from a misapprehension of the truth about the dignity of the human being. Because if I'm a tolerant person, I'm going to tolerate your belief, even though I think you're wrong. But at the same time, I'm going to respect your dignity as a human being, as one who is free to hold that belief. And finally, guys, in the last few minutes here, strategy three, notice how the relativist and slapping the label of intolerance on us for saying someone is wrong is actually being inconsistent. Because I could simply respond back to you guys and ask you, well, am I wrong for saying other people are wrong? And then in order to hold to your argument, you have to say yes. Yes, you're wrong for saying other people are wrong. That's why I'm saying you're intolerant. But notice, why am I intolerant for saying someone else is wrong, but yet you are not intolerant for saying I'm wrong. Right.
You just did it to me.
Carlo Broussard.
So it's a double standard.
And we are out of time. I mean, we could just go on here, but the book is Preparing the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. Carlo Broussard, we love you, and we're praying for you. Thank you so much.
Love you too, guys. Thank you very much. God bless you
God
all.
God bless you, my friend. Josie's been taking notes like crazy.
I can use this like you wouldn't believe.
Denise, would you please wrap up our hour with prayer?